Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP and Wigan X. And now get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Folks, if you like film, you want to pay attention to this. We're going to get into all kinds of topics about film, AI, some new ones. You're talking to a producer right here. This is Luke Siebert. Luke, thanks for joining us.
Of course.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so we go way back. We go way back to Wisconsin. And I remember you being Nate's little brother, and all of a sudden you're in Hollywood and in shows. And maybe give us a little bit of your journey, because I'm curious too. Like, how did you go from being in Wisconsin to like now being a film producer?
So I was always making films when I was younger, just goofing around. I think I don't know if you and my brother Nate were making something.
I think we were.
This is hilarious. So I don't know. I started acting in like later in high school, and then
yeah.
Moved out to LA when I was 18, went to acting school for 2 years. I did a semester of university before I moved out here, but it just wasn't, I really wanted to do film, and the school that I was at in Milwaukee wasn't geared towards the film that I was seeking, I guess.
Sure.
So I knew I eventually wanted to direct at some point. Yeah. But in my mind, it was like, I want to do like the Ron Howard, Clint Eastwood type of thing. Like, I'll act first, and then maybe opportunity happens, I'll start directing. But directing was always kind of just in my, I think my number one goal. I just really enjoyed acting. So did acting school for 2 years, learned a lot, did some national commercials with like McDonald's and Domino's, a lot of theater stuff. And then eventually, I started having kids, and it's like, it's the world out here. The industry is difficult to continue auditioning and doing all that.
Yeah.
Stuff. I think God just had, like, he had it on my heart, I think, to start raising a family. But that passion for making films never went away. And I started writing short films, and eventually, just got around to finally, like, you know what, I was seeing other friends make things, and I was like, you know what, like, I know how to do this. I know how to get this done. So, I just finally back in, I mean, I had done some other ones. It was like zero budget, just with friends and stuff like
that.
But back in 2019, I had been sitting on a short film script, marked that I had written.
Which, by the way, I highly recommend, folks. You talk about relevant. Do we let them know a little bit of the hint?
So Marked, it's, I got the idea when I was reading through Revelation. There was this verse that stood out to me that I just had never came across.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I think it's Revelation 9:6. Where they seek death and they cannot find it. And then I was just like, what? People are trying to
die.
Wow. Like, it's terrible and tribulation, whatever. And I was like, what does that mean? And so I just started playing with this idea of what if someone were in the tribulation and they were able to come back and talk about how terrible it is. So that one, I also, my desires to eventually be making feature films. I didn't go the traditional like film school route, like a lot of directors, producers do. But I know there's plenty that don't as well. Lost my train of thought.
But Mark, though, so yeah, I saw it in 2019. I forget how we even came about. You send it to me or something, and then I just watched it a month ago, and it was cool in 2019, but I feel like today it's like news. I mean, it felt like real, like, oh my gosh, I'm watching the next headline. So do you feel like we are closer to the rapture, tribulation, end times? I mean, do you feel like we're in that nearness right now?
It's, I mean, I think every day it's closer and closer. And I think, I mean, I know it's weird to say that because it's like, of course, we're going one
day. But it's got to be, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I know people were saying that back in like the 70s and stuff like that.
Right.
But just the way that
technology But they is- weren't cloning robots and all kinds of crazy stuff, right?
Just technology is just exponentially growing, and it's just insane. And even when I was making that, I saw like specials on like news segments where they're reproducing things and like stuff that they could use to onto humans, and like just like what, how would that?
Yeah.
So that was crazy back then, and now with the introduction of AI since that film has just been absolutely crazy. I've always just kind of been intrigued with the
tech future stuff.
Yeah, just like even with writing, just like near future stuff.
It's oh yeah, me too.
We can relate to it, but it's like it's not here yet, you know.
By the way, I'm going to send you a screenplay. I wrote a fiction book called Elixir Project, and this screenwriter found it and said, "Can I write a screenplay?" I'm like, "Sure." Did I ever send it to you?
Yeah. I think I read the screenplay. I haven't read the book though.
Okay. So yeah, I think you did because you weighed in. Yeah, you did. I remember that. Maybe that's how we found each other again. So with AI these days, I've been curious. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll get into your new film, which is amazing. Something Father. What's it called?
Father Figure.
Father Figure. That's right. Super cool. So before we get into Father Figure, and by the way, folks, if you're wondering, like, how does this all relate to IP? Intellectual property is film. Like, that's why you can't pirate. Remember back in the day, VCRs, like, if you copy this, it's $250,000 fine in the FBI and all that. Like, by its very nature, intellectual property is intangible, and a film is intangible. So Luke is literally creating IP. But let's get into AI for a moment, because there is this whole debate now. Like, can AI win an Academy Award? Can AI create a patent? Does AI have personhood? Is AI making us stupid? You know, like, what's your take on AI? Is it a tool? Is it the enemy? Is it, what do you think?
Honestly, I think there, it's a mix. I think there's, when it first started like getting popular, I was like, oh, this sounds a little wild.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to mess with this. And then I was just having a conversation with brother Nate actually about it, and he was just saying how, because he was using it just as a tool, and was like, I just didn't think of that word
tool.
I mean, yeah, it's been a few years now since that, but
right.
I think I jokingly talked to my wife about my assistant, and I just like every time I say
my thinking,
oh, my assistant this, you know. But I think it is super useful as a tool. I think, as there are a lot of things in life where there's just a gray line, I think it's like, when do you cross, where do you cross, where does it cross the line of taking over creative control?
Because people dating AI.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. And even like working on like I was just kind of playing around with it yesterday, just working on like a screenplay, and I'm like, I don't want it to write anything, but it was just, how do you get it to use it as like an assistant to prompt you to come up with things? And then it might say something like, oh, what if it did this? I'm like, I'm not asking you for your opinion. And like, I just like, how, help me do something structurally. Right.
Mm.
And I feel like even that, I'm like, I don't want to cross a gray line. So I stopped, you know what I mean? I don't want to, I want to be able to come up with the creative part of it rather than use it in my regular day job where there's a lot of numbers and sales things. And like, I think in that, maybe it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the Academy just said the other day, they're not going to.
Yeah. I saw that.
That's written by AI or done with AI. I think the hard part is, how are they going to regulate that? Because the way it's going, it's like, at some point they're not going to be able to know, and someone,
yeah.
and plenty of people will lie about it and not.
Well, I think Spotify just came out recently with a verified human badge that, you know, we're starting to see this with books too. Like, so the tough thing is, like you're saying, I mean, so I used Google, I used Gmail. Like, is my Gmail being powered by AI? Like, it is tough to dissect, you know, and say, because I teach at the Cedarville University, and some of my students have a religious conviction against using AI. And I'm like, okay, I get that. But like, the phone that you're holding in your hand is actually using AI, you know, like, so it is, I think we're becoming more and more integrated.
100%. Yeah. I think it's getting harder and harder to separate it for sure. Like, what's real, what's not. And I think that's where, I don't know, we can all have theories. I'm not saying anything is 100% yet, but like, if the enemy, if the Antichrist eventually comes, like, we don't know what that's going to look like yet. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that AI is, but like, it is very interesting that like, God created man. It's like, couldn't Satan take the stuff that's already on this earth, like computers, and just, you know what I mean, tweak things? Obviously, God is in control of everything.
Yeah.
But he allowed Satan to be over the earth, you know? So yeah. Who knows what's going to happen with technology and where it's headed.
No, it is interesting. So now let's talk about your new film, because it's a surprise as I watched it. So first of all, what's the official, I know I didn't contribute a ton or anything, but I contributed to it. So what does that make me in the film world? I don't know.
You're an executive producer.
I'm an executive producer, a father figure. Now that's so cool. So that's IP. I respected IP. Yeah. You basically had to fund it. So you just kind of like crowdfunded it a little bit.
Yeah, pretty much. That was fairly new for me. It's not my full-time job. Ideally, I would like to get there at some point. That's kind of the goal.
Passion.
Especially, you know, like my kids are starting to get older and they're now interested in doing these kinds of things.
Oh, that's cool. How old are your kids?
11 and 14.
Sweet. Okay.
Yeah. What was I saying?
The father figure concept, though.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us where that came about. Yeah.
This film is basically a terminally ill father. Yes. He finds out that he's terminally ill and wants to provide for his family, as like, he doesn't know how much time he has left. So he gets a synthetic AI replacement, basically, identical replacement of himself to kind of take over. And that, it's not so much about the sci-fi, it's more about the family.
Right.
And the idea of that really came from me struggling through trying to be the perfect father. I was like, what would that look like? And it was honestly working through that film and like the, I didn't write the script. I came up with the idea with a friend of mine. I had the main idea and then me and him kind of walked through the outline. And then he wrote it. I'm pretty sure he went to Cedarville, by the way.
No way.
Double check. I'm pretty sure. He worked with me on the other one as well.
That's cool. I'm going to bring up it, by the way, while you're talking. So where I would find this, I found it right now already. So I'm going to show, some people watch this via video and some people listen on, you know, audio, of course.
Gotcha.
So I'm going to show this.
Marked right now is available like for anyone to see. The other one, father figure, I have like, it's password protected because we're still submitting to film festivals.
Yeah.
You have access to it, but yeah, I will.
Is this Josh Cobb? So like, is even the IMBD, I'm looking at the full credits. I'm not going to show the film, but like, can I show them the credits even?
Oh yeah.
Is that secret? Okay.
For sure.
So this is called IMDb. And here is the, what do you even call this? A thumbnail? I don't know what you call that, but
the, just the movie poster, I guess.
Or movie poster.
I mean, it's more of a different,
yeah.
Different one later.
Yeah. So you're the director and yeah, I'm super honored. I've never been an executive producer, but, and then Marked, I saw Marked was here, and this is mind blowing. This is it, right? Or how does somebody buy this?
You can just stream it on like Vimeo. It's not for, I don't have
really? A so good. Yeah. But I love them both. Okay. So that's cool there. And then, yeah, maybe talk to us about the issues. Cause when I'm watching this father figure, not everyone's happy about the AI replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Bad.
Yeah.
So what were you trying to show?
It was mostly, like based off of me, just kind of, and honestly, like I've been told before, like write what you know.
Well, that's interesting.
I think the idea, obviously it's not 100% me, but it's just, I mean, for years I was always like hearing lies of the enemy, like just, you're a terrible father, you're this, you're that, like you're not doing enough, you know? Mm. So I thought like, you know, if I were to pass away or know I'm passing away soon, like how would I try to fix that? How would I try to make amends with this constant struggle I've been in when I'm not going to be here much longer anyway? Like, what are they going to think of me when I'm gone? What is, did I make an impact on their life?
Yeah.
Did I teach them enough before I passed away? So it's kind of that. And then just, and even through that, I just reading like seeking counseling and stuff like that. I started to realize like I'm making the focus really about me.
Mm.
Instead
of creating memories.
Yeah. And the idea is really just, you know, spending that time with your family versus just like worrying about how good of a performance I'm putting on, you know,
interesting.
Like just being present. Like how much does your actual presence mean to your family?
So rather than preparing to die or mm-hmm. make plans, the moral of the story, if you will, is that be present and keep making memories. Mm-hmm. Remember that at the end, like washing the car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like it was a touching film. So how long is it and why did you decide, like, what is a short film? Maybe teach us a little bit about that.
So it ended up being about 25 minutes total. The script was about around 20 pages. Usually the script will be like a minute per page on screen. The tough part with this one is it was hard to make it shorter. So my goal is to get it into film festivals to be able to kind of network with other people. I would love to make a feature next, feature length. I'm not opposed to making another short film, but most festivals, they ideally want for short films to be like 15 minutes or less. Gotcha. So this is kind of a hard time to time.
Yeah.
Or length, I should say, to get into film festivals. But there are some festivals geared specifically toward short films that okay. take anything up to 40 minutes long. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's a short cool. film, according to the Academy, is like 40 minutes or less.
Yeah.
Feature is anything 40 or more, I think, or 60 or more, or something like that. So,
okay.
And a lot of
so film, do you, yeah.
Well, I was just saying, a lot of film festivals will... not a lot. There's a decent amount, I guess, of film festivals that are like Academy qualifying. So like if yeah. your film wins Best in Show at that film festival, then it can be potentially viewed by the Academy, which another crazy thing. Sorry. And then I'll.
Yeah.
A friend of mine that was working on a short film back when I made Marked in 2019 was starting to work on a film. And I remember him telling me about it. He didn't go into details, but he was like, he works for Disney. He wanted to do an independent project. He's a storyboard artist. So like before you see him, he draws out what the shot might look like.
Yeah.
Him and a friend, we're directing this thing together and finished and started submitting to festivals, I think in the fall last year. And they were actually nominated for best short film in the Oscars this past year.
Wow.
They did not end up winning, but you should check it out. It's called Forever Green.
Forever Green.
Yeah, it's got a like gospel message.
That's cool.
Josh Garls, I don't know how to say his last name. He ended up doing like the music for it.
Wow.
Really, really good. But yeah, those guys are like personal friends. My friend that did the sound in that movie also did the sound of both of my movies.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Okay. So part of what we talk about on this show is IP. I know we got about 5 minutes left, but have you ever thought of film as intellectual property?
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, a film I made back in 2006, I want to say, I would still love to make that into a feature length, called The Game Boys. That was a mockumentary, kind of like office style, Spinal Tap style type of thing, about video gamers.
And The Game Boys. Yeah, totally.
And I had the idea, and then I heard of a movie like a few years later that came out that was literally like super similar, and I was like, somebody stole this idea from me. Thankfully, whatever came out was not even remotely close, and it was just the trailer looked terrible to me. So I'm not like, I'll hurt about it. But at that moment,
it was a good point, though.
I was like, wait, stole my idea, you know?
Yeah. So there is that thought where in film, I mean, you know, we've even seen movies that, like, there's a joke with Hallmark movies. It's the same movie. You've watched it 50,000 times. Like, it's the same plot. Like, so where do you balance structure, smart structure of, like, hero's journey, tension, plot, and then having your own unique, you know, because if someone came out with, I don't know, like, whatever, Dumb and Dumber. I don't even know why I thought of that one. But if someone came up with Dumb and Dumber and it was the same movie, literally, everyone would be like, you know, I mean, you can get busted like for stealing and, you know, pirating. We call this pirating. So where is the line between being inspired, you know, and being just copying? I'm not asking you. Like, it's a tough question.
I think for film, it's interesting because, like, I feel like it happens more often in, like, in music. I think what was Ed Sheeran or whatever was like getting
sued for something like
that. I know, in like Katy Perry too.
Katy Perry, so in music, you can literally copy the beat, the bar, like, the melody, whatever it's called.
I feel like it's harder with film. Because you can still tweak. I mean, even all of like Tarantino stuff, like, he copies shot for shot because he's watched so many movies. He'll like, but it's a different story and the character looks different, and you know what I mean. And so it's not exactly the same, but he takes all of his favorite loves from before and puts them all into one thing.
So I
feel like
when film, it's harder.
I don't see it as much. I don't really see it happening. Yeah.
Here's where it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
James Bond, Marvel, whatever. When you literally license. So like in that situation, you're using the IP.
For sure.
But you have to like pay. Like, I can't make a Spider-Man movie. I'd be sued by whoever owns the IP.
Yeah.
So in that sense, that's a good example of respecting the IP.
For sure. Like, Disney, I just heard the other day, because what, Mortimer Mouse or whatever, is not
not under copyright any longer.
Yeah. So, but they have, I guess, every single year now changed Mickey a little bit. Like, I don't know, to keep
the license going. 70 years plus the author's life. Yeah. No, so it's like there's an IP strategy, right? Like, guard your empire by using IP law. Very interesting. Yeah. So how can people support you? Let's say they're like, man, I'm hearing him wanting to do a feature film. He's got talent. Like, what if somebody wants to get in touch with you? I'm not saying you got to offer your private information, but like, if people love what they're hearing, what could they do to support you?
To support me?
Yeah.
I honestly,
obviously watch Father Figure when it comes out. Mark,
I love to hear just what people think of it, or what how it impacts them. I haven't shared Father Figure with too many people yet. But from the few that have seen it, I've been surprised with some reactions, which is cool to hear.
Totally,
especially when I'm trying to make you feel certain things.
Yeah.
Been definitely interesting to try like a different genre. My last one was not like family drama, it was more suspenseful.
I love that one. So
I think
you have Instagram.
I personally do not.
So how can anybody get a hold of you?
I do have my Facebook still.
Okay.
And then my email and stuff. But social media was kind of toxic for me. So not for my films or anything like that, but just personal, like
mental health.
I waste too much time on there. So the only reason I keep my Facebook available, which is where I will share my stuff.
It's for people to get a hold of you.
Cause mostly my family is available on there. So,
okay. So folks, check out his Facebook, Google him, check out Marked, check out Father Figure. I think you're talking about really important topics. I do feel like, I know we got 1 minute left, but I do feel like people are right now building the tech to meet their loved ones who've passed, i.e. I've never met my great-great-grandfather. Like, you know, this whole upload your brain to the cloud, brain-computer interface. So it's you're talking about topics that are definitely coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild. It's eerie.
That'll be your next one. meet your grandfather in the cloud. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Luke, for being here, for saying yes to God and his direction in your life. And we'll be praying with you on that full-length film.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the You Are an IP Company podcast with Cari Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Brought to you by Instant IP and WiganX. Visit Instant IP today and WiganX.com for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.